copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Navigating the media torrent. That's our topic for this brief 20-minute lecture. What are the implications for discipleship and mission in a media-dominated world? Well, media domination is really a reality for all of us. We live in a media-saturated world, in a globalized media world. And in fact, media is everywhere. It's everywhere, all the time. And we could actually stop right now and talk about our own experiences from our everyday lives. The fact that media is everywhere in so many dimensions of our lives. It's an increasing reality, and it's an increasing global reality. So, popular culture has an effect on all of us. And let's read this a quote. Popular culture summons improvisational communities. It saturates everyday conversation. It circulates the materials with which people splice together identities. It forms the image scape and soundtrack through which we think and feel about who we are, or, as film critic Robert Warshaw once put it, who we wish to be and fear we might become. And I'm sure all of us relate to different parts of the media world. Some of us relate to the news world, some relate to the fictional world more. All of us relate, I suppose, increasingly to the social media world and to the whole World Wide Web, of course. Media technology is everywhere. Old technology, new technology, and all combinations. And it's interesting to know how the whole of our global system, the global arenas and systems of the world, are becoming more and more influenced by popular media technologies. And we could, for example, if we had time right now, we could look at each continent of the world and how the increase, for example, in Africa or in India or China, whatever, it's a dramatic increase in the use of media technology, and the implications are huge. We all encounter an increasing number of media channels. There is an increasing plurality of media channels. So it's not just as it was, you know, in the country where I live, in Norway. Before 1991, it was just one television channel. So either people had watched it or hadn't watched it, and everyone knew, you know, the day after what to talk about. Today, of course, in every day, in all, everywhere in the world, it really is a very different story. There is a plurality of media channels. The result is that there is a media culture. There is an increasing globalized media culture. Media messages matter. And that I really love that expression. Media messages matter. They shape our lives. The result is a globalized, increasingly globalized, or maybe we should be even more precise, a combination of global and local. What someone has called a glocal media culture. So it's the meeting of the global messages and the local cultures. So this means that we don't interpret the media messages the same way everywhere, but we encounter increasingly the same kind of messages everywhere. This is a very, I think, fascinating quote by media critic William Romanowski. Popular culture reflects the society it helps to create. Do you see there is a circle here? It's not a one-way road a one-way process. It's a both and. Media is both a mirror and a mold. It's both a reflection of society, and it is a very powerful influence. Here's a quote from an ELF speaker for quite some years in his book Popologetics, which I do recommend. Popular culture gives us scripts or templates that model the way life is, or the way life should be. And just think about the following implication of that. This means that actually, if we as Christians never get included in the script of popular culture, for example, if you never are able to identify with a character in soap operas or in movies that stands for the same kind of faith and values like yourself, you become very alienated. So as Christians, we increasingly find us in the situation that we are sort of written out of the script, that the scripts that are produced are scripts that do not include what we stand for in terms of faith and convictions. Going back to what we heard from Noel Alich yesterday evening about the movement of culture right now. So of course this is a challenge. It's a challenge regarding discipleship. It's a challenge regarding holiness. How are we to live in the world but not of the world when we live in a media-saturated world? But Jesus said in John 17, you know, where it says about in the world but not of the world, that we are also sent to the world. That it's not an option retreating from the world. Neither is it an option to be so influenced by the world that there is no difference at all. But it's not only a challenge, it's definitely also an opportunity. It's an opportunity for mission. Never before have we had so many arenas, so many channels, so many avenues open for us for engaging in evangelism in the context of holistic mission, in the context of integral mission, bearing witness to Jesus and all his teaching. The lordship of Christ is a fact also when it comes to the media. And I would like to quote to you one sentence from the Cape Town Commitment. Some of you may be aware of that. That is a document that came out of the Cape Town Congress in 2010 in the Lausanne movement as part of that. And really, Lindsey Brown, who used to be the International General Secretary of the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students and now is involved both in university missions in Europe and in Lausanne internationally, he and the previous leader, Doug Birdsall, for the International Lausanne Movement, they present the following crisp challenge. The challenge of the global church is to bear witness to Jesus Christ and all his teaching. And then they add three dimensions to that. In every nation. So bearing witness to Jesus means moving across barriers, across cultural, geographical barriers. That's the classical understanding of mission. But it's also the second dimension, not only in every nation, but in every sector of society. To bear witness to Jesus, the truth of who Jesus is, in every sector of society. And thirdly, in the realm of ideas. I'm sure some of you are familiar with this quote. Abraham Kuyper, who was a prime minister of the Netherlands at some point in history, saying, "No single piece of our mental world is to be hermetically sealed off from the rest. And there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign of all, over all, does not cry, mine." That's quite a challenge. It's about, you know, Jesus, whom the Bible talks about being the Word that holds everything together, as it says in Colossians. So expressing our calling, to take the first dimension I mentioned, the geographical one. We are really moving in very different paths, each one of us individually. We are in different geographical contexts. But wherever your path leads you, the media is there. Wherever your geographical or cultural context is, the media is there. The all-pervasiveness of the media is there. And what does that imply? And we may even add another dimension to this. It's not just that the world globally consists of geographical borders. It also consists of digital borders. The new digital world is a world where there are many paths, and we need to explore the implications of that. To bear witness to Jesus Christ, not just in every nation, but in every sector of society. That implies whole life discipleship. It implies that being a disciple is not just something that belongs on a Sunday morning, as important as that is being in church and the importance of preaching and teaching of the word. But it implies the whole of our existence. It implies the whole of our lives being a service, being a thank offering to God. What does it mean to live in the world, but not of the world, in a world that is characterized by media to such an extent that we talk about a media-saturated world? I do think this is an issue that we haven't really faced as a Christian community. We need to ask ourselves, what are the implications? Or thirdly, the third dimension, bearing witness in every sphere of society was the second, and the third, bearing witness in the realm of ideas. That means building bridges to ideas. You may recall Paul in Athens. I love the expression from N.T. Wright, the bishop and professor N.T. Wright. He talks about Paul as a chess player, as a master chess player. You know how one of the master chess players, they play against not just one opponent sometimes. They walk around playing against a number, 5 or 10 opponents. And that's what Paul did. You know, he played against the Epicurean, the Stoics, the popular religious people, and the formal authorities and so on. And I think that's what we are also called to do. We are called to identify what are the key ideological, key worldview challenges in our time, and we need to build bridges, to affirm truth where there is truth to affirm, to expose error where there is error to be exposed, building bridges. And this has to do with bridge building, with double listening, as John Stott expressed it. Double listening means listening to the word and the world in order to build bridges from the word to the world. Double listening is indispensable. It's impossible not to have it. It's necessary both for Christian discipleship and for Christian mission. So then, this leaves us with three vital aspects of media engagement as Christians. Three vital aspects. And to give you the more personal angle to this, as a preparation for the Cape Town Congress in 2010, this happened outside our home back in Norway. I was cutting the lawn. I don't know if you get good ideas when you cut the lawn. I usually do it, in fact. I don't know why, but it just happens. I was really reflecting on how on earth are we going to talk about media and mission, because that was my task given to me to present that in Cape Town. And it occurred to me, I don't know where I was on my lawn, but I think somewhere in a corner, and then suddenly dawned upon me three words, which then became the framework that I worked through and prepared. And the first word was media awareness. Because you see, we encounter media as users and as consumers. We may even be involved in media work, but even then, even if we are professionally involved, we are first of all media users, media consumers. And it seems to me that is a forgotten dimension in Christian mission. We haven't really taken that seriously, that what happens in that world of the media affects our understanding of what it means to be a human. It affects our understanding of what it means to do service in society, to be a father, a mother, a child, you know, a grandchild, to be in different relationships and roles. It actually is a tremendous opportunity, but I think it's a forgotten dimension. We need to refocus on that. Secondly, it's media presence. By that, I mean that there are a number of people who are called to enter the professional world of the media, either as journalists or documentarians, or working with the creative media, entertainment media, to write into the scripts the important concepts and ideas. To have Christians being represented, to have good values, truth, beauty, and goodness represented within the media. A calling to public witness and integrity. There is a variety of roles there. It also includes the possibility and the responsibility for Christian apologists, for example, to enter the world of the media, of the public media, of the general mainstream media, to give a voice, to be a credible voice. And you may be aware of the new TV series called the God Question series, which is a wonderful opportunity to present also a Christian voice in the context of pluralism. So we need to use the context of pluralism in a very positive and affirmative way. And thirdly, the fact that media is a part of every ministry today. Of course, we are thankful for the classical media ministries like Transworld Radio, FEBC, FEBJ, HCJB, SAT7, all local radio and so on and so on. But increasingly, each and every Christian institution, each and every Christian church, each and every Christian organization becomes a media organization, a media outlet. And I don't think we have taken that seriously enough. And even every single Christian has a potential media ministry through social media, through the web. So, I think it's a fact that we need to open our eyes and to ask ourselves if we are called to bear witness to Jesus Christ in every nation, in every sector of society, and in the realm of ideas. We need to take the complex and fascinating world of the media seriously enough. So the question is, have you discovered the world of the media as an important mission field? Have you discovered the importance of exploring media awareness and critique, of helping families, helping teenagers, helping tweens, helping children to engage with the media in a responsible way and an appreciative way where that is appropriate? Are you encouraging, if you are in churches, encouraging Christians to enter the main news media, the main creative media, to make a difference, to write this into the script, key concepts and ideas, truth, goodness, and beauty? And are you exploring every kind of opportunity within your reach and your context to use the media for the gospel, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ? If we are to take the call, mission in three dimensions, in every nation, in every sphere of society, and in the realm of ideas seriously, we cannot neglect the complex and fascinating world of the media. May God give you and me and everyone wisdom to use the fact that media today is going through a process of democratization. It's actually becoming everyone's tool. And you know something? We are called to every member ministry, every Christian's ministry. And if so, there is a wonderful match there between the media becoming a tool for everyone and an every member ministry. May God give us wisdom in all this. Time for you to come back on this. JesusNet is a wonderful ministry and it's growing. It's a very innovative ministry in the area of especially the web. I think in Poland it had a history with radio first, and then it out of that. So in the categories I gave you, this is a wonderful example of a media ministry, which is important.
The media and the message.
I think there are two pitfalls. One is to say that there is no effect, that the media, the channel has no effect on the message. The other pitfall is that to say that the message is totally changed by the media. I think the truth is somewhere in between, that the channel we use, has an influence on the way we express ourselves and on the way people perceive it. So there is a difference between print, radio, audio and visual, to use those categories. So it's neither media neutrality nor media determinism, I would say, but rather media realism, that there is a real interplay there. But I think to learn then the specific characteristics of each medium and use it to its potential and to respect the limits of it, I think is important. And that's why, using different media is important. Any other comments, reflections? Is the area of media awareness and critique something that is new to you, or have you come across that? One example would be to arrange a movie evening, or to go together to a popular movie that everyone would feel comfortable to go to, and then to ask questions afterwards, and to make people start asking questions. And it's not updated, but engageinmedia.info. Hopefully within the next 3 or 4 or 5 months, this will be updated. But if you go there and go to media messages, there is actually quite an extensive series of questionnaires or questions, helpful questions to think about in terms of, for example, the news. I don't know how often you watch the news at home, and if you ever stop and ask questions about it. For example, and this is something you can do in a youth group, as an example. You asked about the church setting. To have a recording of a news broadcast, for example, and to start asking, what were the issues? Why did they choose those issues? What were the angles? What were the perspectives? What were the questions? Which questions were not asked? Why did they choose those sources or those interviewees? And so on. And what were the values of the journalists and the news anchor, for example, in expressing? Very few people have actually, consciously engaged in that. But if you do it 2 or 3 or 4 times, then you start discovering things that, of course, it's not just a question of reality. It's a question of perspectives on reality. So that's one example. And one could walk through, for example, a movie. We'll talk about in the second focal talk here about one way of engaging that. So I think there are many ways making it and taking something that people are interested in. People are interested in music. Many people play a piece of music and ask, what is this person trying to communicate through this? Do we know anything else about this artist? Is there a series of albums there? Do we know anything from interviews about what that person stands for? And it's interesting, many young people, for example, are very perceptive when it comes to understanding messages. But they need help to see the big picture. They need help to sort of this matching process to understand, okay, what was communicated here and how does that fit into an overall view of reality? Like John Lennox talked about today about naturalism, for example. Where do we see that? Well, so many places. For example, in view of sexuality, is it really true that we cannot control our sexuality, that we at all? I mean, that we are just, forced to follow our sexual impulses? Well, very often that is communicated to us, you know, in society. Or is it true that it's impossible to live one man and one woman a whole life in one relationship, in a marriage? Well, very often that is communicated as an impossibility. Of course, there are all kinds of problems, you know. We all know that hope we don't need to go further than ourselves to know that we need to work on relationships. But that's a different story. So we need to be creative and help each other. So Damaris Trust in UK has been pioneering some of this stuff, and we hope to help through the Lausanne movement to produce resources for the global church in this area. There is a dispute, I think, in the positive and negative effects of the media. The difficulties are, a lot of this depends on long-term studies, and it's very difficult to conduct long-term studies in this area. Going back to, I think, because there were a number of important points in what you said, I think it's important for parents to draw lines, to say, for example, 2 hours, 1 hour, 3 hour, whatever, and now the time is up, you know. Then that becomes a treasured time, to use time, you know, in front of a screen, whether it's a screen, you know, small screen or big screen. So I think it's wise for parents to talk with each other, what is the appropriate scale, and so on. You know, when you have a possibility, you know, when kids are growing up. I think it's quite clear that there are potential negative, you know, effects and harms that can be there. But on the other hand, we must be careful to understand what those harms are then, and not to misinterpret our own cultural preferences with that. You know, it may be that some of us are not very, you know, not very into social media because we think, you know, reading books is better. You know, that might be true or not. I certainly think reading books is often better than social media. You know, but then people can become addicted to just, you know, follow it. For example, Facebook. And there is a Facebook addiction that is real. Each and every family, I think, has to find the way there. But to talk about it, because there are no easy solutions, I think. But at least to identify this as an area which needs to be talked about. Because it's, you know, children, tweens, teenagers, young adults today are growing up in a media-saturated age. So it's about finding what does it mean to be human in such a context. Not just Christian disciple, but also some of these concerns are across worldview barriers as well. And I think we may even find this as a wonderful opportunity about witnessing what does it mean to be concerned about human life. So there are many opportunities, but it's not it's not an area where any one of us has the final solution, but it's rather helping each other, encouraging each other.